Chapter 15. Her strangling wire before her, she crept down the passage. Vatek had told her these were the corridors haunted by the bleeding Baron, a houseguest of Smara Udolpho, who had been stabbed by his sons but refused to die. She kept to the shadows, trying to stay silent. Christabel thought of what she'd do with the fortune when it came to her. First, she would expel her relatives from Udolpho and cut them loose in the world. They wouldn't last a month apiece. Then she'd dismantle the house stone by stone until she had the Black Signet's treasure. Then, the wealthiest woman in the known world, she would return to the great cities of the Empire, of Britonia, of Kislev, and make all men her slaves. Countries were hers for the taking. She heard something and pressed herself into an alcove, blending with the dark. Something heavy was coming down the passage. She held her breath and waited. Heavy footsteps sounded out, but there was a metallic creaking. Blue light filtered through from somewhere. Christabel tried to shrink into a ball, her killing loop ready just in case. A man-shaped thing rounded the corner. It was taller than Chokka by a full 3 feet and had to bend its head to fit into the high-ceilinged passage. The apparition was clad in a full set of antique armour. It was burnished iron, with fiery designs inlaid, and moved like an animated statue. It had a species of clanky grace that was almost bewitching. Christabel stood up and was ignored as the thing walked past. Vatek had not told her about any mailed monster. This was a new addition to the histories of Udolpho. The armoured giant moved slowly, but with purpose. Its visor was down, but there was a blue glow behind the slits. Not knowing why, she stepped out into the thing's path and looked up at it. There was an unfamiliar crest on its helmet. The giant halted and stood over her, its arms outstretched. She was impressed with its sheer presence, its size, its power. If she stretched her arms out to their limits, she could barely touch both the thing's shoulders. She touched her fingertips to the iron chest. It was smooth and slightly warm, metallic but living. She let her palm linger on the sculpted muscles. The giant made lawyer Vatek seem truly pathetic. It embraced her. She felt a flush of pleasurable fear as she was lifted by the giant. It could crush her with no effort. She slipped her arms around its neck and hung in its grip, sensing a male presence behind the visor. She felt drawn into the blue light. After a moment, he set her down gently and pushed past her, continuing on his way. She watched his armoured back as he turned the next corner. Her heart, she realised, had nearly stopped. She felt faint, but overcame her weakness. Her body was still vibrating with the pleasure of the giant's touch. She could not yield to womanish feelings. Less carefully than before, she strode through the passages towards the doctor's apartments. She wanted this over with. Dr. Valdemar sometimes worked late in his laboratory, distilling the infusions which had been keeping old Melmoth alive all these years. He would always be found surrounded by bubbling retorts and smoking crucibles. When she had done her business with him, she would set a fire, and no one would suspect anything. The elements and chemicals he was fooling with were dangerous. There had been more than one unfortunate explosion in his rooms. The doctor's door was open. She held her loop ready and slipped in. There was a fireplace, its blaze shrunken to embers, its orange glow cast through the room. A chair was outlined before the fireplace, and Dr. Valdemar's bald head shone above its back. He was staring into the hot coals. On the points of her toes, she crossed the floor, and with a swift movement, fixed the loop around Dr. Valdemar's head. She pulled tight, and felt the wire through her gloves as she struggled to choke the life out of the doctor. He didn't resist. Immediately, she realised why. Dr. Valdemar was tied to his chair and shoved close to the fire. His legs had been pushed into the grate when the coals were burning high. Now his boots and breeches were partly burned away, and his feet were stubby cinders at the end of blackened legs. The doctor's head rolled in her strangling grip, and she saw that his mouth had been stuffed with pages of parchment. In his forehead, three metal pimples were shining. They were nail heads. Damn, she thought. The twins have been here first.